it's time. It is that time. Time for Stiles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Stiles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. Stiles and Watkins.
Yes.
Sactown Sports. Taking you up to 2 p.m. Yes. Nate Littlefield behind the glass. And it may not have been done in the most convincing fashion, but as the great Whitey said last night, at this time of the season, there are no bad wins. There are no good losses. You just have to take care of business. And that's exactly what happened, Chris Watkins.
Yes, absolutely. It was another one that I'm going to say was not pretty basketball, but they got it done. Shouldn't have taken to get to overtime to get it done, but nonetheless, you take it however you can get it, and it was one hell of a performance by Malik Monk, man. That was definitely a memorable one, one that we're going to think back on, I think, when this season's over and just say, wow, like that was really, that was one crazy night, and he was flying all over the place. Just clutch bucket after clutch bucket, and it was crazy. It was a crazy, crazy night.
Not only now do you have the reigning clutch player of the year.
That's right.
Now you have a situation where it doesn't always have to be De'Aaron.
Exactly.
The leap that Malik Monk has made, and we started the season off talking about, hey, how much can somebody improve? Obviously, we were more so talking about once you hit that magic number 30. But to be 25, 26, 27 and in that prime and literally see somebody continue to evolve the way that Malik Monk is evolving, I mean, it's just incredible to watch. And I think we should all be grateful that we get to enjoy it and watch it no matter how this season ends. I mean, he just turned it on and literally said, I'm not letting this happen.
Yeah.
I'm just not letting it happen.
Yeah, no, he was the best player on the floor last night. Had, easily, he was the head of the snake. And usually you're going to call on De'Aaron to be that guy. De'Aaron did have that moment in the third quarter where he hit, it was like three threes in a row.
Yeah.
But Malik took it the rest of the way. And he put the backpack on and said, guys, get on my back and I'll carry us. It was great, man. It was really needed. And, on a night where, you didn't really have a lot of the shooters, you had a really weird start to the game with Kevin Huerter going down with the injury, which we're going to talk about here soon. But, just kind of fight through all of that, fight through a tough shooting night. And, the Grizzlies did pretty much exactly what we expected them to do. They were gritty. They made it a tough game. They didn't let the Kings, ever feel comfortable in that one. And at the very least, this is a game where the Kings, frankly, have lost all year long. I mean, how many times, especially here recently, with the Chicago's, with the downed Miami, all these teams, we can go down the list, have the Kings gone into a game like last night, looked how they looked like last night and got the loss. Mm-hmm. So again, much like Whitey said, much like we've been saying, at this point in the season, it doesn't matter if it looks great. Of course you want it to be looking like how the Celtics looked last night against the Pistons. You would love for it to be an easy game where, you don't even really need your stars. Mm-hmm. Some of your role players can just take care of it and you can coast to an easy fourth quarter win. That's not how things happen here in Sacramento. And at the very least, again, they got the result yesterday. Go 4-2 on the homestand, and feeling good heading into some inferior opponents here on this road trip.
Yeah, job's not finished. Job's not done, as the late, great Kobe Bryant once said. And even though they left with the W, it wasn't all smiles and giggles last night, as Kevin Huerter, with one of the most, I guess, random...
Yeah. That's random.
Situations that we saw. I mean, you watch the replay over and over again. At first, you thought it was the forearm. Then you thought it was the wrist. And then you confirmed that it looked like it was already bad as he went to the floor. He tries to lift his arm. It doesn't happen. Ultimately, it gets labeled a shoulder injury. And I know we heard Dave was texting with him last night and hoping that Kevin can get back on the court is in good spirits. We don't have official word yet. And now the question becomes, even though, yeah, we had conversations about whether Kevin Huerter should start or not, the question becomes who is going to step up? Because it's different when it's a luxury. It's different when you have a choice. When you don't have a choice, like we discussed, now it's not found money.
Yeah.
Now we're counting on you, Keon Ellis. Now we're counting on you, Chris Duarte. So, you know, thinking good thoughts for Kevin Huerter as we hope the best and want to see him back on the court. We have some Frank facts. We also have more tickets for Hannibal Buress that we will give out at 12 p.m. Again, get your lunch ready, okay? No matter what that time is, I'm an early lunch guy myself, and get set 916-339-1140 for your chance to see tickets to see Hannibal Buress this Friday.
Ooh.
This Friday, March 22nd. Let's get into some Frank facts.
Let's do it. And as I just mentioned, Frank puts in his article. You can read all these recaps and get all these nice little nuggets on Kings games every single game from SacktownSports.com. Our guy Frankie Cardicelli with some previews on occasion. I don't think it's every game, but every single game he's got a recap of how last night's game went. Frankie puts, the Kings ended their season-long homestand with a 4-2 record, taking a slim half-game lead over Phoenix and Dallas for the sixth spot in the final playoff race. Memphis has played 8 guys last night. As tough as that is to believe,
they played hard.
They played really hard. They had Jake LaRavia play like 40 minutes off the bench, but they were down yesterday. And even like during pregame warmups, you know, I was looking down there and I was like, this just looks wrong.
There were more people in street clothes.
Literally.
Ja was there. They were having a party during all the music because they have nothing better to do. Jaren Jackson, that man looked exhausted all game long.
He did. He's like, I'm so glad Desmond's back because I'm exhausted and I can't do this losing anymore.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart wasn't even suited up, still found out how to get on the stat sheet. He was a -2. After getting kicked out
with
the tech.
That's actually hilarious.
That's insane. Played 0 minutes, but was a -2. Frank puts out here, due to sloppy play on both ends, 7 turnovers in the fourth quarter alone, and missed free throws during crunch time. They were 4 of 7 just in the fourth quarter. The Kings handed over the lead with 33.4 seconds to go. As we know, they eventually tied it and went into overtime. But, Alan, I mean, there was a Sabonis turnover that was just absolutely terrible in that fourth quarter. We got the answer way too quickly to our laser beam question we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
Keegan Murray had made 32 straight free throws. He had missed one, I think, in the third, which ended that streak. Mm-hmm. And then in the fourth quarter, gets fouled on a box out on a missed free throw, sends Keegan to the line, I think with an opportunity to either tie it or put the Kings up 2. Keegan misses them both. And so it's exactly what we talked about yesterday. It was, yes, Keegan has made all of these free throws, but in order to really get the true laser beam question of earth at stake, who are you putting at the free throw line? Keegan's got to get to the line more in pressure situations for you to truly believe that he's an actual really good free throw shooter. It makes sense, but he just hasn't really been asked to step up in those moments. He steps up in that moment and bricks them both. So don't know really what to do with that information. I guess we're back to the drawing board with that laser beam. Earth is 0-3.
I'll tell you
for
what.
Those keeping score.
Kevin Huerter gets injured, right? He's got to come out the game. So the Grizzlies pick who to take the shots.
That's right.
They pick Alex Len, and he makes them both.
Here they are thinking that Alex is – they should have just sent – De'Aaron or
just
Sabonis.
Send De'Aaron. Just send the normal guys. Alex Len might be the answer to this question.
It really might be. At this point, it might be. It really might be. Malik Monk opened that extra period with 8 straight points before he found Sabonis on a pick and roll in a slam. Malik Monk, the sixth man of the year front runner, scored 12 of his 28 points in overtime to help the Kings seal the win. The Kings' win over Memphis is the first of 3 straight games against sub-500 opponents, which is Sacramento's final stretch of regular season games with consecutive games versus teams with losing records. So that's, again, something we've been talking about. It's why this little Toronto-Washington stretch is going to be really important. These are the last cupcake games that the Kings have in a row. They really only have a game against Utah after this, and then the last game of the season against Portland in terms of teams that aren't fighting for playoff or play-in spots. They just have to win these games. Again, it doesn't have to look pretty, but you've got to get the results here. Keon Ellis showcased his defense ability. Second-year guard had 5 blocks, a career high yesterday. The Kings also tied a season high with 59 rebounds last night. They also improved to 24-5 when passing out 30-plus assists. And this last one, those were all Frankie facts. This is a fact from our friend Brendan Nunez. He put 2 reasons the Grizzlies were able to make it a game and take the Kings into overtime without 10 players playing today. Sacramento had 20 turnovers, leading to Memphis 27 points, and the Grizzlies managed to score 23 points off second-chance opportunities off of 15 offensive rebounds. That's 50 of their 111 points just off of turnovers and second-chance points.
Yeah, they're out there, they're scrappy, and that's what the Grizzlies were trying to accomplish, and they did. They knew that that was the way that they were going to beat the Kings team, and fortunately, the Kings did just enough to get this W, you know, and at this point in time, this isn't, we are past the point of, oh, well, if you are struggling against the Grizzlies, what are you going to do, blah, 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 blah. There's no time for that.
Nope.
There's no time. And honestly,
on to the next one.
Based on what they've been telling us, this should be, I guess, the quote-unquote scariest time against these sub-500 teams. You power through this, and you should be good the rest of the way.
Yeah, this is actually the tough stretch.
This is the tough stretch, and then you're coasting.
Then you're just doing what you do.
You're at what are they, 39 wins now?
Yep.
Okay, 39 wins now, which means with 15 games left, there is still an opportunity for you to get that 48. And to get that 50, if you take care of business, if you think you can rock and roll and beat these teams that you're supposed to beat and then level up a little bit and take care of the teams that you really need to. Everything is in front of the Kings.
Yep.
Everything is in front of them right now. What's in front of us? Your calls, 916-339-1140, opening up the phone lines on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Ashley, we see you. We will get to you when we return. And don't forget, 12 p.m. tickets to see Hannibal Buress. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
The magic number continues to shrink for your Sacramento Kings. You can get to 48 still. That's still in play with 9 wins. You can get to 50. 11 wins, but you got to get hot. You got to get high. And really, it's not even about the number of wins at this point. It's just about staying ahead of the teams that are behind you. They're behind you. Do not let them catch up. You did it before. Cannot do it again. And based on the team, we know the Mavericks, maybe not, but we know the Suns have a tougher schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the Mavericks is you see them back to back.
Yeah.
Realistically, you're probably going to split. Let's just be honest. It would be very, very impressive if the Kings are able to beat the Mavericks 2 times in a row. As the Mavericks are starting to heat up a little bit, and that's a team with Luka and Kyrie, even though Mark Cuban's not really there anymore, that is exactly why they brought in a guy like Kyrie for the opportunities that they've had. So you continue to – but it might not matter if you beat the teams – that you're supposed to beat. 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get out to Ashley, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Ashley? What you got for us?
So I just, I've been listening to this since the start of your guys' show. I heard your guys' facts. They were great, but I got one more I want to add in for you guys. And that is, in the last 3 games, the Kings are actually 3rd in defensive efficiency, and since March started, I believe we have a We're seventh in net rating. Mm-hmm. And so as bad as the Herter injury is, and hopefully he can get back on the court soon, with Keon getting those extra minutes that he's been getting lately and how our defense has looked, it might just be a blessing in disguise as well.
Thanks for the call, Ashley. Yeah, you know, tough conversation. It's hard to say something like that when we all love Kevin Herter. He coined the Beam Team, right. And we know when he's rolling, it just takes this team to another level. But at the same time, and Ashley beat us to the punch, we have some of those numbers as well with the net ratings and defensive and offensive ratings with Keon as a part of the starting lineup or playing heavy minutes. Yeah, I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. Chris, you know, Kevin Herter goes out. Keon Ellis comes in. You know what Keon Ellis does. It's Ellis Island. Then Duarte comes in, and it's just insult to injury for Kevin Herter. I mean, if we're being honest, Duarte comes in, and he can't miss a shot.
Yeah.
So it's tough to say what Ashley just said.
Right.
But from a basketball standpoint,
yeah,
it did look good last night. Yeah. Until it didn't. They did struggle, right? But that's still that isn't even X's and O's why the Kings start to struggle. I think it's all between the ears. But yeah, look, Keon Ellis, another good game. He does a little bit of everything. And then Duarte coming in. And by the way, at about 12 o'clock, we have people already doing the thing again. Okay, actually 11:30. Doing that thing to where there's always somebody better. Chris and I and Brendan Nunes, now we're fielding comments. Now we're fielding calls. Now we're fielding texts saying, should Keon Ellis' minutes be going to Chris Duarte? Because Chris Duarte's been playing well. It's just a revolving door, and somebody always has an answer. So that's at 11:30. If that's how some of y'all feel, the lines are open. The lines are open. But yeah, Chris, back to what Ashley had to say.
Yeah.
There's no real nice way to kind of say it, but they've been really good, the Kings have, without Kevin Herter.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would just say that Keon Ellis and Chris Duarte, you know, in an ideal world, you know, if they are the guys that you close your eyes and you think about the type of player they are, they're the guys that the Kings have been asking a little bit more of in terms of what they want. They want guys to, you know, be heavy on ball pressure, and they want guys to hit threes. Kevin Herter has struggled to hit threes, and we know that his defense has been a big talking point for really his entire career, but specifically these two seasons here in Sacramento, as that's been the team's biggest need of improvement is on the defensive end. There's a clear upgrade there with Keon Ellis. I mean, Keon he's already, I think, the best, most versatile defender on the team. I think that if he continues to play, if you give him a full season of work, I think he can be one of the best defenders in the NBA. So there's a clear upgrade there. If Kevin's not making his shots, Keon's providing pretty much what Kevin was. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, not as reliable probably, but at the same time, we haven't seen a big sample size from Keon with him having confidence. So I think that there's not that big of a drop off there. And yeah, Chris Duarte is a dude who, same thing. He's pretty much providing in a lesser way what Keon Ellis does. A lot of energy, a lot of defensive pressure. And we saw last night when he's hitting shots, it makes sense to play him, and I think that there still is hope for Duarte to kind of find some consistency here. I think it's been an up-and-down season for him, just like it's been for everybody else, and I think if he can be semi-reliable from three, he's a guy who makes a ton of sense to get a boost in minutes here if Kevin is out for the remainder of the season. I think that Kevin and Duarte both are guys that the Kings, or Mike Brown specifically, wants the Kings to become. Mm-hmm. Kevin Herter is almost like a figure for what the Kings are. Like, he is a great offensive weapon, but he's not really, didn't really provide the defense. And ultimately, how many times have we heard the Kings need to improve on the defensive end?
From 916 is starting already. Not at 11:30 is when we're fully doing it. Duarte is not that consistent. Keon is going to be a star. I love absolutes. I love them.
Right.
I love
it. Has to be that way.
It has to be. So Kevin Herter, yes, goes down. They're calling it a left shoulder injury, and somebody somewhere is going to have to step up. And, you know, the list goes on and on, and even a guy like Sasha Vezenkov coming back to add in some of that scoring that the Kings might be missing without Kevin Huerter. Let's get to TC, our guy TC, who wants to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the fastest growing show in Sacramento. What's up, TC? What you got for us?
Alan, Chris, what's up?
Not much, man. Feeling good. How you doing?
Feeling all right. Feeling good. Just like y'all, man. Vibing, right. Man. That was a good win. That was a good win last night. Gritty. I just want to send a shout out, man. We talking about Keon. Send a shout out to Alex Lynn, the whole team last night. But those two particular, bro, those are dogs, bro. You know what I mean? If Keon starts, he starts. You know what I'm saying? I'm in a boat with starting, but if he doesn't, it's looking like he's going to start anyway. We need Dorte. Like I told y'all the other day, we need all hands on deck. So we need everybody on deck, bro. And last night, that was a prime example of everybody on deck. Those dunks that Malik had last night, if he ain't in the dunk contest, if he ain't in the dunk contest next year, bro, listen, I'm going to have a talk with that dude, bro, because last night, bro, I was so fired up when Fox shot in that alley hoop and then he came baseline. With the two hands, that's it. Malik is so nasty, bro.
It was look, crazy.
Hey, it was crazy, Alan. But look, to answer you and Chris, look, bro, we need all hands on deck right now, bro. Everybody. I'm big on that. I don't want to – this guy needs to play. It's right for this guy to get more minutes, but at the same time, that's the definition of Mike Brown. That's why I love him so much. Everybody is ready. He might call on the last man on the bench. Whoever's getting in, bro, is going to be ready, bro. And, I love the way this is going right now.
Thanks for the call, TC. We're up against it, but you know we love when you call in and let us know how you're feeling. When we get back, who specifically needs to step up with Kevin Huerter out? Also, who do you trust more in the clutch this season? Yeah, we're doing it. Malik or De'Aaron Fox? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
They want to have the conversation now from the 916. Even though the Huerter injury could be a blessing in disguise, particularly on the defensive side of things, I still think that if Keegan doesn't improve his three-point shooting, we're going to be in trouble without Kevin. That's a great point. That's a great point. Yeah. Keegan Murray.
He's got to be better.
I mean, that man gets some real open shots.
He does.
I mean, really open shots. And that's why the whole flow offense and, hey, get somebody going. You never hear Coach Mike Brown say, we got to get somebody going. Because you're all going to have opportunities in that offense. You can get yourself going.
Mm-hmm.
And Keegan Murray, 2 for 8 last night from 3. He's still finding a way to score. Yeah. I mean, not incredibly efficient. 15 points, 6 for 17, 2 for 8 from 3, which is crazy because, to your point, Chris, and that means my prop did, my prop talk did I end up taking Keegan?
You took for prop talk.
Keegan.
You took Keegan Murray, yeah, 14 and a half.
And he had 15.
That's right.
Which is crazy because he is not shooting well.
Yeah.
And he's putting up 15, right, 12 to 15 a game. If he's hitting those shots, he's in the 20 range every game.
Yeah. And it's really that simple. It's just that's what's made it so confusing, man. I mean, he is a dynamite shooter, but something's up. I don't know if he's hurting, if he's tired from just the amount of games that he's played these past 2 years, but he hasn't looked sharp. I mean, there were times in his rookie season where, especially when he first entered, I mean, there was a Cal Classic and then preseason. He just looked like he was never going to miss. And if he was going to miss, it was going to be surprising when he missed. And it was one of those where the cliche of he only misses left or right, or never misses left or right. It was always front or back.
Short or long.
And he just, he's not, he hasn't been that. And I don't know if it's, you know, a bit of focusing on everything else. I don't know if it's, you know, defense has fatigued his legs a bit. And so he can't get underneath his shot in the same way. But they need him, especially with Kevin Huerter out. That means that they're going to be even more reliant on HB and Keegan to hit their threes because you don't have that safety blanket of, okay, you know, it's okay if Keegan doesn't hit his shots because maybe HB's got it. Maybe Kevin Herter's got it. Maybe one of the bench guys has it. Well, you take Kevin Herter away, and that's just another fail-safe that's now gone. And now, like you said, everybody needs – TC said it. Everybody needs to step up, and everybody's got to take that responsibility on themselves to be better because they're going to need everybody to play better if they're going to want to, you know, make this run that they're planning to do here.
Do you think that one – piece of Kevin Herter not playing, how do you feel? And I know the flow offense, you're going to get open shots, as we just mentioned, Keegan got plenty. Yeah. But what about the gravity portion of this? Do you think that's a thing we hear about shooters and the gravity? Does it feel like not having Kevin Herter will change the gravity, or just due to the flow offense, everybody will still be able to get open shots when they get a chance?
That's a fantastic question. And, honestly, I do think it's going to affect the gravity. Like, I mean, if you just think one for one, like if Keon Ellis is in for Kevin Herter, well, if Kevin Herter is running a wide route, I guess, around Sabonis to run that dribble handoff, that's pulling that defender all the way out towards half court. With Keon Ellis, it doesn't matter how wide he's going to run. That defender is probably going to go under most of the time. And so it's going to cut off a lot of the passing lanes that the Kings normally have, a lot of the spacing. And that's why I'm sure I would almost guarantee we're going to hear Mike Brown calling for Keegan Murray to be more aggressive. And he talks all the time. We haven't heard it in a while, but all season he always complains about the thing I actually get mad at, I being Mike Brown, is when people pass up shots. It's not, you know, taking bad shots or anything. They'll live with that. It's if you have an open opportunity, take the shot. And if Keegan Murray isn't going to be aggressive looking for a shot, I'm sure Mike Brown sees 17 shots and he's like, I'll live with it. I'm fine with it. It's much better than him taking 10 or doing what HB does some nights. So it's going to be really important for Keegan to just be aggressive because he's now the one, to your point, who's got to create the gravity. Keegan has to be the one who teams look at and say, you cannot leave him because he's always trying to score. And right now, feels like Keegan, and it kind of fits the mold of his personality, he's just a little passive. He's definitely okay not being the center of attention. And the problem is, if you're going to be a shooter and have gravity, and you know De'Aaron talks about Kevin's gravity all the time, even when he's not making shots, that's because people know it doesn't matter if Kevin Herter's shooting 36% on the season, he's still going to pull that thing like he's shooting 45. And so Keegan's got to have that same level of confidence here.
Yeah, so much of this has been discussed as far as coming off the bench or who's going to start, but it's also the guys that aren't coming off the bench and that are starting. Harrison Barnes, I'm looking at you, man. He had a pretty decent game last night, and we're going to continue to need you. Harrison Barnes, 1-for-4 from three-point range, 5-for-11, 11 points. You just know what you're going to get out of these guys, right? I mean, you can really book in. Sabonis actually had more points than normal at 25. He's normally going to sit at about 18-ish.
Right.
De'Aaron, you're hoping to get past 25. He had 23 last night. And where's Malik Monk? At this point, you need Malik Monk to be over 17.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
That's a lot to ask for a guy coming off the bench.
Right.
And everybody knows that he is the one that's going to cook. So you need Malik over 17 a game. And the rest of that is, Harrison, can you get to 15? Yeah. Keegan Murray, can you get over 15? Okay. And then after that, it's just got to be by committee.
And you got to play defense, too.
And you got to play defense.
I mean, if you're going to score less points, you should probably force your opponent. Like, the defense is the part. So, you're acknowledging offense got to get worse, but the defense has to get better, too.
Look, they're in a good spot, right? They're in a good spot. But at the same time, we've already discussed what people have to do in the starting lineup. So as far as stepping up with Herter out, you got Keon Ellis, you got Chris Duarte, and you got Sasha.
Yep.
Okay, Keon Ellis, we know what he brings to the table. As far as offensively, there was a play yesterday, there was a play last night where that ball was hopping. It was when we were oohing and on because it was pass, 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 got to Keon, And for some odd reason, Keon pump fakes, dribbles into the teeth of the defense and loses the ball. I need you to shoot that, brother.
Yep. Exactly.
You got to shoot that basketball.
You have to. Yeah. Especially if you're going to be in this offense, especially if you're going to be playing 30 minutes. We can't. That's the same exact thing that we've criticized Davion Mitchell for. Mm-hmm. You've got, and Davion's been great at letting it fly, but Keon, you've got to let that thing go, man. You have to.
Part of gravity is just having the audacity to shoot.
Yes, absolutely.
If you could take this to pickup. If somebody keeps shooting and is just has no conscience, just shooting, I start thinking, I mean, he must expect to make it. When it finally goes in, you're gonna make one of these because you're shooting like you expect to. Mm-hmm. If you give off that you expect to make these shots, then that gravity starts to happen because the other team, obviously you got to make them, but the other team starts to believe, well, if this dude is shooting with this type of confidence, we should probably step up. Yeah. And that is where the gravity can happen. Let's get to John, who wants to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the conversation on Styles and Watkins. What's up, John? What you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Malik and De'Aaron, I noticed last night Malik had the hot hand, and he was just getting the ball. De'Aaron was giving it to him and letting him go. But when it came to crunch time, the last few seconds when we needed to tie the game on his hand, his team, he was going to take the shot. And it's still De'Aaron's team. He's still Mr. Clutch. The only other comment I wanted to make is that I'm more excited for the playoffs this year than last year because it seems like when we play Milwaukee and L.A. and Minnesota, whoever, the Kings always play well. And then we can barely beat San Antonio, Memphis. So it just looks like we play to who we're playing with, and that excites me for the playoffs. I think we might even have a better chance.
Yeah.
That's interesting, yeah.
Thanks for the call, John. Both of those notes are interesting. Yeah, as far as the clutch, who has been more clutch, we will have that conversation a little bit later in the show at 11:15. And yes, and John was kind of rolling with, hey, it's still De'Aaron's team. Yes. It is De'Aaron's team, yes. We're just talking about clutch this season. But as far as, and we can open up the phone lines for that too. Mm-hmm. Are you more excited for the playoffs this season than last season? And John's reasoning for being more excited, essentially, just to paraphrase, is that we do step up against teams that are, I guess, on paper,
quality.
Better than us,
right.
Or at least as good as us. The issue has been, and that's the problem right now, John, because these next couple of games, that is not who you got these next couple of games. You got the Raptors who are playing. You got a bunch of teams playing to spoil and playing for pride and to not get memed if you are the Washington Wizards. You got the Raptors and you got the Wizards, okay? Both of those teams are not very good, and they have not helped out the Kings in any way. They've lost to every other Western Conference team. So you better not lose to them, all right? And as far as just being excited about the playoffs in general, there is something to be said. I think last season there was probably
the excitement anticipation.
Yeah, and just so many emotions to just be in
being
it.
There,
you didn't really know what to expect. You are a 3-seed. Crazy things can happen. And then you get the Warriors who I don't think really played up to their standard. They were missing Wiggins the whole time. Right. So it really it wasn't really a 3-6.
Right.
It wasn't a fair 3-6.
No,
this season, we know what the team is.
Yeah.
We know they can get hot. We also know they can get not.
Yeah.
But we know, we more so know what to expect this season.
Yeah, I think it's like an artist getting invited to the, like last year we got invited to the Grammys and it was awesome. It was like, wow, like I've grinded my whole life to just get to the Grammys. I don't even care if I win. I don't care if I just got invited.
Yeah.
This year it's like I think that there's a chance I might actually win an award at the Grammys, and it's not going to be Album of the Year or Artist of the Year, but I actually have it's just a different kind of excitement. It's, last year was all about anticipation and the reward, like any wins would just be great.
Breaking
the cherry on top.
Breaking the streak.
Yeah. This year, that's really interesting, and I actually do really agree. This year, I'm more excited because anything can happen, and I just want to see if there is a true possibility that the Kings do make some noise, as we like to say. I do feel like there's a with how well they're starting to play here on the defensive end and with the uptick in physicality in general, it's got me wondering, like, can this team actually legitimately make some noise in the playoffs?
We asked the Drive guys if this was one of the strongest Western conferences in the history of the NBA, and basically, their thought process was star-studded, yes, but as far as great teams,
sure,
nobody knows who a great team is because the top is filled with unproven teams. So we don't know if the Thunder are great. We know that the Nuggets are great, but besides the Nuggets, who else is actually great? Which means that anything can happen, and the Clippers have cooled off a little bit.
No, absolutely.
Styles and Watkins, when we return, continuing the conversation, more of your calls. They've been great so far. More of your texts, and shout-out to the Sack Chat as well. Huge. Don't forget, 12 p.m., tickets to see Hannibal Buress. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Feeling good. Living better. That's the Kings. When you take care of business, when you're supposed to. And no, it doesn't matter that they went to overtime. It does not matter.
Tapatio Tuesday.
Tapatio Tuesday. Spicy out here. It doesn't matter anymore. It can't matter. What do you want us to do? Discuss the same things that we've been discussing? Well, as the Avengers say, we have a Hulk. The Kings say we have a Malik Monk. And that is what got unleashed last night. About four different dunks. Some of them didn't even count.
The best ones didn't count.
Is he one of the most underrated twitchy athletes in the NBA?
Yeah, probably. Like, he just doesn't get brought up.
No.
At all in terms of, like, the best athletes in the NBA.
He has all the makings of a perennial dunk champion. Because you got to be under, what is he, 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, 6'3".
But the way he dunks, the way he finishes, he would walk away with it. Bye, Mac McClung.
Yeah.
Go back to the G League.
He does have the right combination of just power and like you're saying, like the short guys when they dunk, you could, like, the leg kicks, it just looks like they're floating in the air, and Malik has the perfect combo of both of it. And yeah, he can do, I'm trying to think of, honestly, there is a dunk I don't like. He can definitely go between the legs. Mm-hmm. He can absolutely 360. Mm-hmm. And I would assume that he could do both. I would assume he could 360 between the legs. So
I need to see it.
I feel like that wins a dunk contest easy these days.
I need to see it, and as an earlier caller,
maybe don't have it in Indiana.
Well, yes, but yes. So the bottom line
maybe
is that
in the Bay.
We believe that, and during the summer, we'll probably get somebody on to see what is the dunk process or the All-Star process. Because I would imagine at this point it's just an open forum.
Yes.
Right? It's just Adam Silver said, does anybody want to do it?
Anybody?
I don't think, I know a couple years ago it was, we'll ask people and then they'll say yes or no, because it was actually something that people wanted to do.
Yeah.
Now it's just, hey, your handler or publicist or whoever, hey, tell them that I want to do it.
Yeah.
They'll take anybody.
Yeah.
Literally anybody. Yeah. And Malik, if you're listening, because I know you love to listen to the fastest growing show
That's
in Sacramento.
Right.
Malik, you got to do it. If you really want to put the city of Sacramento
on the
map.
That's right.
In the Bay Area. Whose house is this?
Yeah.
Whose house is this, Malik?
That would
you
be
have to do it.
Yeah, that would be pretty great. He wants a contract first.
Number one, you got to make sure he's still on the
Bag
case.
Me out first, and then we'll see how hard I'll rep.
Let's get Vivek on.
Yeah.
Okay, and figure out.
Us?
Hey, yes.
Okay. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. For sure. For
I'll
sure.
talk to Dave. We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
And say,
so
hey,
sharing with his guest, Dave.
Very much so. Hey, Vivek, love you. Love your work so far. Can you make sure that there is something in the contract that says, hey, Malik, you'll get an extra $3 million if you do the dunk contest in the Bay Area? 500K. Well, you know, what's the number that it has to be?
Yeah, I mean, $3 million better. I mean, that I would say
1.5. One mil?
I mean, what do they get for? I think they get like 500K for winning or something like that, or 500,000
yeah, we will give you what you would get if you won just to do it.
That'll be your all-star game.
Yes.
Whatever all-stars make, we'll give you that bonus just for. Does he have to win?
No, he doesn't have to win.
Just participate.
You just
got to
do it. You just got to put Sacramento on the map.
Well, yeah, okay.
You got
to
do it.
Yeah, he's too prideful to just show up, I think.
He could
honestly probably show up and still do something crazy.
But it's just the way he dunks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he couldn't help it. It would be ridiculous.
It's not all about the dunking, though. It's also about the other D, the defense, A.O. And the last five games, the Kings have allowed 104 points, which is good for sixth in the NBA, and defensive team rating of second in the NBA, and Chris has the other numbers as well, and they're just kind of ridiculous. They don't sound like Kings stats right now.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, so over the last five games, which is, I think, since the Milwaukee game, like you said, 104.4 points per game, sixth in the NBA, 103.2 defensive rating, that's second in the NBA, 42.3% from the field for opponents, that's also second in the NBA. First in the NBA is the Knicks. Mm-hmm. So,
there you go.
That's kind of a cheat code. Mm-hmm. And then opponents, here's the biggest one, because we know this has been a problem all season long. The last five games, opponents have shot 32.2% from three.
Wow.
Fifth in the NBA. Those are all at Shooters Gym Golden 1 Center.
Yeah.
So we know how much that number really means, and all of those are the best marks of the season throughout a five-game stretch. The Kings are quite literally playing their best defense right here, right now, and it's been against some pretty quality opponents.
Is it all the Ellis effect, or can we get to a point where we're giving Keon Ellis too much credit?
Yes.
Do you think we're there already?
Yes, but I think it's okay. I think it's fine. Like, I mean, Yeah, Keon Ellis does not get all the credit, but man, I mean, it's tough to argue when he has a game like last night where he has six combined stocks, if you will, steals and blocks. So that's tough to argue, but no, I mean, I definitely think it's part of it. But in general, I mean, Mike Brown has talked about how as a team collectively, they've just been better. They've been better at communicating, which I also think Keon is a big part of. But they've been better at closeouts. Malik Monk, you mentioned Malik's closeouts in the Milwaukee game to me, and that's... you know, it's just stuff like that where it just feels like they've been a lot tighter, a lot closer. It does help that they've played, you know, the Bucks, who had like the worst shooting performance of the season, though the Kings did play a part in that. And they played the Knicks, who can barely score over 100 themselves. Sure, that helps. But nonetheless, I think that there were still major defensive wins and defensive positives in all of those games. Even, of course, Keon was a big part of those defensive positives. But I would just say as a team, they've been a lot better as well. But absolutely, Keon plays a big part in it. But there's people who just say this is straight up because Keon Ellis is playing 30 minutes.
Yeah, and, you know, I think part of it is the energy that Keon brings, and he has a specific role, right? A lot of people sometimes, you know, you have your buddy who doesn't really know what they want to do in life. And at one point they want to do this, and at one point they want to do that. And you also have friends that have known what they wanted to do since high school, okay? And Keon goes in there with the purpose. He knows what his purpose is. And there is something, the simplicity of that, I think, has helped the Kings team because, and, you know, obviously we're going to hear what has happened to Kevin Huerter officially today, maybe tomorrow. Yeah. But the thing about Kevin Huerter is, when he wasn't making shots, it was a little bit confusing as to what he was just trying to help in some way. He was trying to help the team. Let me get some rebounds. Let me try to lock up. You know what Keon Ellis is in there to do. And then you have the bonus, and the bonus is making the threes. If he goes ice cold, then we'll have to have a conversation.
Right.
But as long as he's making enough to just be respectable and literally just making one three a game with what he's doing defensively, it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. No one's out here saying, you know, Keon Ellis only had 5 points last night. Like that, because we all know that that's not what he's there to do. I mean, that's all, everything that he does offensively is honestly gravy, which is a great place for Keon to be in. But it will be interesting. You said it at the top of the show. I mean, how many times have we seen it with this team in different areas, but expectations now come. Like you said, it is no longer a, hey, it's great, the bonus that Keon is giving us. It's now, no, we kind of need certain things out of Keon if he's going to be the one playing for 30 minutes, or we need, and it moves to everybody. We now need things from Duarte. We need things. Well, I feel like Davion Mitchell is going to get a boost here in minutes because of this as well. There's now just everyone kind of moves up the totem pole, and it's no longer the backup quarterback thing where, you know, you're the most popular guy in the room because you see all the good stuff and you don't have to see all the bad stuff. Now we're going to get everything. And you've got to be locked in the same way you've been. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, it still looked good from Keon. He's getting major minutes, and things have been all good so far.
We are basically an hour away from your chance to see Hannibal Buress. That is going to be on March 22nd, and we are giving away tickets at 12 p.m. thanks to Live Nation, who has teamed up with Sactown Sports for your chance to see Hannibal Buress at the historic Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento. Weather is still supposed to be beautiful. Get outside. You even had Chris Watkins got outside this last weekend. So call up at 916-339-1140 at 12 p.m. for your chance to win tickets. When we return, who do you trust in the clutch? The reigning clutch player of the year or Malik Monk, king of kings, the king of clutch this season? Maybe the answer is both. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.